You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in, welcome in. Come on in, lock the door behind you. Let's get locked into the Philadelphia Eagles right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Happy Victory Tuesday, everybody. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Tuesday edition of the show, alongside, as always, my co-host Gino Camilleri. Eagles 6-6 after a nice 28-13 victory over the Washington Redskins yesterday in Monday Night Football. We're going to continue our coverage of that win today. Before tomorrow, we move on to Dallas Week with our crossover edition with Marcus Mosher, host of Locked On Cowboys. So we're going to move on to Dallas tomorrow. The Eagles already seem like the players and coaches have moved on to Dallas today because this Sunday matchup between the Eagles and the Cowboys has first-place implications in the NFC East. So it is a big one, but today, we're going to get into our weekly segment, Stock Up, Stock Down, for yesterday's win for Philadelphia as we continue to recap that victory for one more day. We got to enjoy it at least one more time because, Gino, every week right now with the situation the Eagles have put themselves in late in the season, every win keeps their season alive, but if they lose one more game, it's pretty much over for them. And that's why I'm trying to enjoy, although it wasn't a total dominating win, there were plays left on the field to be had, but overall, I'm trying to enjoy each win as the season comes to an end with just four games left.
Yeah, this team controls their own destiny at the moment. If you follow college, they were like Michigan. They had that big loss to Notre Dame earlier in the year, and all they had to do was win the conference championship. And you could say this Sunday is the Eagles' conference championship. They have to go into Dallas. They have to go into a Jerry World where they're 6-2 over the last 8 years and come out with a victory. There's no other way to put it. They have to go in there and beat a team that kind of put a whooping on them a couple weeks ago. Division rival, I'm ready for it. I'll be driving back from Montreal. Hopefully I'll be back in my house right at 4:25, ready for the game. But I'm amped up, and I know these guys are amped up. Everybody was talking about it, and Doug said it best. He said, it's right there, guys. Like, we control it all. We just have to make a couple more plays, and it's there for the taking. And I don't think there's a more true statement that he could have made to the team after yesterday's game, because they are right there. They're on the right track. Yesterday was a big step in the right direction, as I like to say. Even though it was against Mark Sanchez, it's a good confidence booster for everybody. Carson Wentz played well. He had some just outlandish throws. The more you watch that throw to Golden Tate, yep, the more ridiculous it gets, how perfect he had to put that ball. Golden Tate was completely covered at the time of the pass, and he just floated it in there like J.R. Smith used to have a nice floater when he played for the Knicks. I like to equate it to that way back in the day, but yeah, they played well. The defensive line is starting to come around. Outside of that run of 90 yards from Adrian Peterson, they allowed 14 rush yards on 13 carries, which is pretty good if you like to say it like that. So
they finally bounced back on the run defense because, you know, the past 3 weeks have been gashed by star running backs.
Yeah, AP was a star in his own right at a time, but he still has a little juice in his game, and you saw that yesterday. But next week is where it's going to come into play, and they really have to take that momentum that they got from this game into that game to shut down Ezekiel Elliott, because if they can't get cooking on the ground, Dak could be in for some trouble, and you've seen that when the game falls on his shoulders, how not reliable he can be. You know, it's tough to see him take on a role like a Carson Wentz or even a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers and those guys that can win games late. Yes, Carson can win games late. He's done it before. I don't want to hear anything from anybody else, but this is the game, man. Just they got to do it. That's all I could say.
Yeah, and I think there was a little bit too much credit given to Dak Prescott this week after that Cowboys win against New Orleans, but we'll get into Dallas
week. Or in 2016 when he went 13-3 with 100%. Just a fluke of a season. Yeah, he's had a little bit too much credit his entire career, and I'm not just biased. Just from an X's and O's standpoint, he's not good. He can't step up in the pocket. Like, he just doesn't know how.
He's got a lot of games this year where he has either zero or one touchdown, so we'll continue our coverage of Dallas week tomorrow up until Sunday. For today, I want to get into, to start the show, the Eagles' playoff odds, which significantly increased after yesterday's win. It went up by 16%. They were originally at 12% odds of making it. heading into the Washington game at 5-6, now at 6-6 with pretty much a win next week, putting them atop the NFC East. Their playoff odds went up by 16%, now at 28%. So, look, 28%, still not a lot. If I told you in the summer that the Eagles by week 13 would have a 28% chance to make the playoffs, I would have been really, really upset and needing answers considering the expectations we had on this team early on in this season. But for right now, there is a legitimate chance. And before the show, we were kind of talking about it. I was on the playoff machine again for at least an hour before the show, and I've just been addicted to going on the playoff, the ESPN NFL playoff machine for the past couple weeks just to find ways to get the Eagles in. And really, there's a way to get in even if they don't win the NFC East, but there really isn't a way to get in realistically unless they get to 9-7, which requires them to go 3-1 down the stretch. And that's a tough one, though, Gino, because we got Dallas this week, we got the LA Rams on the road, then we have the Houston Texans, and then it's going to be, to me, a gimme game against Washington week 17, unless there was to be a big upset by the Redskins. But they're just so beat up right now that the Eagles are going to get at least one more win there. But they got to go 2-1 in those three matchups I mentioned between the Cowboys, Rams, and Texans. Two of the three going to be playoff teams. Dallas could be if they win the NFC East or make the wild card, but 8-8 is not going to get it done, man. They have to, and the NFC East is the easier path because the Vikings and Panthers have the tiebreakers over the Birds, but 9-7 is the formula right now. They have to get to 9-7.
You know I'm a big proponent of the Carson Wentz revenge game next week, so I wouldn't count out that Rams game being a game that they can go in there and win.
Watch them everybody lose this one. And then they'll win the
race. Don't even say that. That'd be such a Buffalo thing to do.
No, that's true. Okay, yeah, right.
We're not going to put ourselves in the Bills region of things. But, yeah, they're starting to get cooking like they were last year. And I think they can beat anybody. The thing that I'm looking forward to is how the AFC plays out over the next 2 weeks. Because we play Houston week 16. Teams tend to start to rest their starters if they have things locked up. So if you have the top two seeds in the Chiefs and the Patriots lock up home field advantage within the next 2 weeks, maybe we see Houston rest some of their starters. Maybe. I don't know. It could be a must-win game for them at that point. Who knows? So it's going to be very interesting to follow the Pats and the Chiefs and also the Texans over the next couple of weeks to see how that game lines up. But you're right. 9-7 is what they have to do. But I always think back to that 2008 team when they needed everything to go their way to even get into the playoffs, where they ended up making it to the NFC Championship and were within one score of the Super Bowl. So yeah, anything is possible. I've counted this team out before, and they've had ways to come back and get into the playoffs and make things happen. So who knows? That year they had Mike Vick when they went in and almost marched down the field to beat Green Bay. I didn't expect
anything out
of it.
That was one of my bad memories, that interception.
Ran the same exact route twice to Riley Cooper.
Underthrowing it to Riley Cooper. That was one of my favorite seasons growing up as an Eagles fan, so I haven't thought about that playoff game in a long time.
Sorry, I had to bring up bad memories.
No, it's okay.
But you're right. But I saw today that if they beat Dallas, they're going to own all the tiebreakers over both Washington and Dallas.
Yep.
So somehow if Dallas starts to falter, we all know how Dallas gets in December. People tend to forget that this is the time of the year that Dallas's hopes, they're still remaining high, but they always get shattered. No, it's not Tony Romo, who is the king of doing that, but it's Dak Prescott. And outside of his first year, when has he proved that he could go in? I mean, outside of the New Orleans game, which I think was an absolute fluke and one of the biggest trap games of 2018 in total. But I think if you really step on the throat of Dallas next week and go into their home and really rattle their cage, they still have some games that they can lose coming up. Indy still has a chance to make the playoffs. They're going to be battling, and that offense has been lights out besides last week to the Jags. They were averaging over 35 points a game the 4 weeks prior. You still have a division game against the Giants, which is never a cakewalk, and I can't remember who their last game is, but
it's the Giants, and then Tampa. Or I'm sorry, I don't know if you said Tampa Bay.
No, Tampa Bay is the one I missed. Still, Jameis Winston could be playing for his job. So those are games that aren't games you can just waltz right over, you know? So
they need just one. So if the Eagles go 9-7 with that Dallas win, all they need from the Cowboys is just to lose one of those three.
I think it's very possible. I think they could lose two, honestly.
Right. I mean, all three of those games, if they lost, I wouldn't be surprised. And because, so we mentioned a scenario that hopefully, it's not ideal, but I live in hypotheticals. So hypothetically, if the Eagles ended up losing this week to the Cowboys and they beat the Rams, the scenario for that to win the NFC East, they need the Cowboys then to go 0-3 in those three matchups. So it's still not over if they win this week, but week after week, if you're not piling on these wins, it's going to get harder and harder to the point where it's just nearly impossible. You need a miracle to do it. So the key path to the playoffs right now is getting to 3-1 down the stretch at 9-7, and then Dallas losing one of those games. And, of course, that includes a Dallas win next week. That is the safest way to secure the Eagles that fourth seed in the playoffs. Before we take a break, the wild card is still in the possibilities for the Eagles in the postseason. So say Dallas wins out after an Eagles loss, and the Eagles don't win out to go 10-6. Say they do end up losing that Rams game, but say they beat Houston. Dallas would win the division at 10-6, again, if they hypothetically win out those final three games, and the Eagles go 9-7. The wild card berth is Philly's if the Panthers finish 2-2 down the stretch against the Saints twice, Atlanta, and Cleveland. Carolina going 2-2 seems very realistic in that. The Panthers are in trouble. They just suffered a bad loss against Tampa Bay on Sunday. The Vikings would also have to go 2-2. They play at Seattle versus Miami, at Detroit, and then home against Chicago. That would put them at 8-7-1. The Eagles would be a half a game higher than them because both of those teams beat Philadelphia this year. But if the Eagles can finish with a game higher than Carolina and a half a game higher than Minnesota, they secure that sixth spot. So there is a way. 8-8, there's so many different wormhole scenarios that would have, it would be impossible virtually for the Eagles to get in unless a team like the Lions won four straight or the Falcons won four straight. And then there's a three-way tie, and then it comes down to in-conference records. Basically, I could sit here all day on the microphone and talk about playoff scenarios because there's just an endless amount. But the ones I just laid out are the most realistic. But, you know, like you said before the show, just win the NFC East. It's pretty simple. It's a pretty simple path.
Yeah, they've done it before. They've come out that Sunday night game against Dallas in 2008. They did what they had to do. It's going to be a big game that last week against the Redskins, and hopefully everything's on the line that week. But you're right. I don't think any of those teams really are world beaters and can go out and go on 3-1 or 4-0 stretches like I think this Eagles team can. The Panthers just fired two of their assistant coaches in week 12 of the NFL season.
They're in trouble.
They're in disarray right now. Kirk Cousins is still Kirk Cousins. He has two tough division matchups. They have to go into Seattle, who basically has that fifth spot in the playoffs, that first wild card spot already locked up. They're going to want to go in there and just absolutely ravage the Minnesota Vikings. So the wild card isn't out of the equation either, but it all starts Sunday. Both the division and the wild card start Sunday, but I honestly think Carolina has a chance to go 1-3, and same with Minnesota. So if a team is ever going to get hot and go on a tear down the stretch, this Philadelphia Eagles team is stepping in the right direction, which those other two teams aren't. But
our boy
on another note,
John DeFilippo's in trouble, man.
Yeah, he might be the coach of the Packers next year. Don't count that out.
That's
but
true.
Wouldn't it be nice to have a win against either one of those teams right now? Like, that would have been perfect.
The Carolina one especially. The Carolina one's the one that stands out.
If they win that game, they're sitting pretty and have, I'd say, basically a coin flip to make the playoffs at this point in time.
That's true. And look, yeah, and you're going to look back to that game, the collapse in the fourth quarter. You're also going to look back to those two fourth and long plays. Oh, I'm sorry, that one was against Carolina, that fourth and 12. You're going to look at that one.
Yep.
And you're going to look at the, fourth and 19, right, against Tennessee. It was fourth and 19.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth and 19 against Tennessee to win the game, and they'd be looking a lot better. But hey, again, like you said earlier in the show, they still control their destiny. We laid out all those scenarios. Guess what? If they win out, they're in. So the Eagles, you don't have to look at the playoff machine. If you guys want to get in, all you got to do is win these four games. If you win every game, you're in the playoffs. So that hopefully is the ideal scenario, but with a lot of big tests still in this season to go with Dallas, LA, and Houston, I think they can only really afford one more loss. Let's take a quick break here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. When we come back, Gino and I will give our stock up, stock down from yesterday's 28-13 win, not loss, against the Washington Redskins. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast.
This episode of Locked On Eagles is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. Perfect for any friend or family member on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, or anybody that really loves the outdoors or hates being cold. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat heated products that fit everyone's budget, starting at just $39.99. We've got a special deal for our Locked On Eagles listeners to save 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon. That's actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon and use the promo code lockedon at checkout to save 20% off. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. And we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today.
All right, everybody, welcome back to segment two on this Tuesday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, continuing our coverage of the 28-13 victory over the Washington Redskins yesterday on Monday Night Football. Getting the Eagles back to 500 feels good to be 6-6, back to 500 once again. Hated seeing more losses in the loss column than wins in the win column. Let's get into our weekly segment now, Stock Up, Stock Down, and we're going to start in this segment with stock up. So I'm going to give three players that I thought boosted their stock in the 2018 season in that win against Washington. Then in the third segment, Gino will give three members of the Eagles that didn't really help their stock this season. Number one for me in stock up has to be Carson Wentz. And to
100%.
Me, when you look at Carson Wentz, people have liked to criticize him this year because it gets clicks. When you go after the franchise quarterback that really, for the first 2 years of his career, went pretty much unquestioned. I know he had an up-and-down rookie season, but for the most part, it was all about promise with him. And last year, there was really nothing to criticize about Wentz. But now, because the Eagles are struggling, people like to go after the quarterback. But I thought yesterday was the closest thing that they had to 2017 Carson Wentz. He's had a really good season this year. I feel like in the pocket, he's developed better as a passer there. I thought his accuracy has gotten a lot better this year. But you haven't really seen those improvisational, on-the-run throws this year, big plays down the field, right? I mean, last year, I can rattle off the Washington touchdown, the week one to Nelson Aguilar. How about the two Seattle plays to Nelson Aguilar, which were crazy, against the Redskins on Monday Night Football, acting like Houdini, coming out of that scrum in the pocket to pick up a first down. That same game, the touchdown to Corey Clement in the back of the end zone, where as Wentz is getting hit, he throws a perfect... So, I mean, there's just so many memorable moments from Wentz last year, so many big plays that just instantly come to your mind. Gino, how many plays this year has he made? And I'm not... This isn't a criticism. Again, I feel like the criticism of Wentz this year has been unfair, and I feel like he's had a really efficient, good year coming off that torn ACL, but how many of those memorable plays do you think he has made compared to last season?
Definitely not as many, but I honestly even forget that they ran like a knockoff of the Philly special in the first game. Like, this season has been such an up and down that there's been high moments that I cannot recall. So I'm sure there are more than I can expect, but you're right. He hasn't looked 100% like himself last year, but like I said yesterday, he didn't have those first two games. He didn't have 100% of training camp reps. So next season is going to be the season where he's going to have to take that next step to be in that elite upper echelon of the quarterbacks. But still, he's still in the top 7 or 8 right now. I wouldn't take him over many other quarterbacks in the NFL.
No, I'm with you too. And really, the only criticism I have this year is that and it's not even really a criticism because I think a lot of it has to do with his health, and there's not much he can control about that, but I just haven't seen the plays that he did make yesterday on the run. I mean, those throws to Golden Tate on that first drive, including the touchdown, were awesome to see. That really gave me some more confidence that he still has confidence in his own leg, and he still has the ability to get away from edge rushers and still make plays down the field with his arm. So one thing he did, I thought he missed a couple throws yesterday. Now, combined what he did yesterday, big play-wise, he had 7 throws of 15-plus yards. He had 4 throws of 20-plus yards. So he was making big plays down the field. Now he's got to combine that with the 2018 accuracy that he has developed this year. So Carson Wentz, though, for the most part, a really nice game. Finished 69% completion percentage, 306 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, a pick, a 98.9 QBR. His total QBR in the year now is 100.6. So Carson Wentz, your stock is up. All right, so number 2 here on the stock up, stock down list, stock up portion of the list is Doug Peterson. I thought Doug Peterson, again, we talk about people that have been under criticism, heavy criticism this year. Peterson, obviously, is the head coach, is going to be the face of that. I loved what he did yesterday. I thought the game plan was great. There was a perfect balance of running and passing plays, spreading the ball around to Alshon Jeffrey, to Golden Tate, to Aguilar, to Zach Ertz. I thought him and Deuce Staley had the running back rotation perfect. They didn't overuse Sproles like I was kind of concerned about when I heard Sproles was going to play. They used Clement in the screen game perfectly. Adams was the closer. He got Wentz moving around outside the pocket on play action. Got Tate involved the right way as an actual wide receiver. Do you know, I thought it was a masterful game called by Doug Peterson.
Yeah, like I said yesterday, I thought the install, the play design, and the play call of everything was just executed to a T. I can't say it much better than that. Mike Groh, he must have felt that the seat was getting a little hot for him and put in 15 plays that actually got him down the field on the first drive.
Absolutely. Doug Peterson, stock up. All right, so our final stock up here on this Tuesday edition of Locked On Eagles, the offensive line. We kind of talked about it yesterday, how impressive they were yesterday. But it's really now been 2 straight weeks where first they've been taking over on the ground as a rushing offensive line. They have been really good in run blocking, but also pass pro as well. I feel like Wentz, and Ryan Kerrigan is an Eagle killer. Do you know, we know this. Remember in 2016 when he ripped Carson Wentz's jersey and he made a rookie Halapulivahti Vaitai just absolutely lose his mind. And yesterday, the offensive line, I thought, kept Washington's front four at bay. So I thought it was, again, a second straight week of really dominant play, especially on the right side with how I went back and rewatched the game when NFL Network was re-airing it today. And Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks had a big day. But another person that should get a lot of credit is Jason Peters. He has had a lot better of a season than people have given him credit for. The talk about JP has been, he's older now. It stinks seeing him get injured all the time. He's got a big cap hit next year. But I thought Jason Peters was really impressive yesterday. Again, he has been still a top tackle in the draft, in the NFL this year, despite having a torn bicep that he's playing on.
I love this offensive line right now. When they are the cooking and doing their best at both run protection and pass protection, they're the top line in the league. And Pro Football Focus said that last year.
Hands
they
down.
Said that the year before that they were great. And I want you to think back to that Dallas game. Lane Johnson was playing with basically half a leg, and so was Jason Peters.
Yep.
Like, those guys were getting dominated up and down the field. They held their own against a very stout defensive line, which I'm think is better than Dallas. Like, I 100% agree that DeMarcus Lawrence is one of the top 5 pass rushers in the league. But outside of him, they really don't have much production coming from anywhere else. So if they can hold up against, like they did yesterday against Washington and Ryan Kerrigan, who, yeah, you had to mention that game when Jason Peters got injured and they put Halapulivahti Vaitai in there with zero help to his side and just let Ryan Kerrigan sack Carson Wentz 3 times.
Yeah,
that was fun. Thanks for the reminder, Lou.
Hey, you reminded me of the Packers wildcard game, so now we're even.
That game drove me nuts because that had so much riding on the line. Like, it was
true.
A huge division game. Like, they were middling in the division at that point. We're not going to go back that way. But, yes, this offensive line, with Jason Kelce acting like the best offensive lineman in football at the moment, they're not going to be stopped. Like, if they continue to run these inside zones and he just pulls in everybody into another dimension, like, they're going to be good.
Watching Jason Kelce manhandle a linebacker with one hand 15 yards down the field.
He has a screened
elbow, screen
too.
Plays.
Like, people forget about
it. It's unbelievable. It was a hell of a performance from the offensive line. The offensive line stock is up. All right, let's take a quick break here on the Locked On Eagles podcast when we wrap up with our third and final segment, Gino Camilleri. He's going to do Stock Down. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to the final segment of this Tuesday edition of Locked On Eagles. Louis DiBiase alongside my co-host, Gino Camilleri. And Gino, we did three stock ups. Carson Wentz, Doug Peterson, and offensive line helped their case in the 2018 season. Who did not impress you last night?
I'm going to make this short and sweet, just these three. I don't think there's many parts of this team that really did bad yesterday,
absolutely.
I'll start with number one. It's probably going to be a shocker to you, and I'll say Ronald Darby, because the way Sidney Jones played yesterday, I'm not really worried about bringing Darby back, like especially Brandon Graham, who balled out. Like, if he continues to remain healthy and play like the way he did yesterday as one of the better graded pass rushers that PFF usually grades out pretty high, I'm bringing him back over Darby. So for him to not be on the field and to have other guys like Sidney Jones and another free agent like Brandon Graham step up and make plays, it's going to be tough for him to get back on the roster. Yes, he didn't play yesterday. Yes, he's been out. He's going to be out for the rest of the year, but still, it takes a hit. Like, out of sight, out of mind, people are going to forget about Ronald Darby when it's time to make a contract come this offseason.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, you're right. Look, and I've been saying it all year that I don't think Darby's coming back next year, but especially with Sidney Jones now, we're seeing him on the outside. That was huge to see him just be on lockdown mode all night long.
Agreed, 100%. And who knows if Rodney McLeod comes back next year, if you're going to move Maddox to safety or what's going to go on there.
Or Rasul Douglas.
Or Rasul Douglas, yeah. So
not unless Jim Schwartz gets fired, is that happening?
You have options elsewhere in the secondary to replace Darby, and I honestly think there's a pretty good chance in a draft that is loaded with very good press man corners that this is the year they need somebody to pair with a young guy like Sidney Jones and Jalen Mills.
No, I'm with you, absolutely. Who is another guy that did not help their case on Monday night?
Corey Graham. I mean, he's just a weak part of this defense. He has been. Like, he played 100% of the snaps, which is just, he shouldn't be playing 100% of the snaps at his age, at his skill set. They took Camus off the field a lot. He only played 23 snaps, which is about 50%. While Corey Graham played 100%, they like to play that big nickel type defense, but still, you got to keep him off the field, especially with a more potent offense next week again, like Dallas has. I don't want him anywhere on the field in reliable situations. He just continues to be abysmal, and it kind of stinks because I broke the report in the offseason that he was going to sign back with the Eagles, so I kind of have a pretty special place in my heart for him, but he just stinks, man. Like, I can't continue to watch him. Like, once we go through this All-22, it's going to just be even more evident how bad he actually played.
Yeah, the main play that obviously sticks out is that pass that got tipped up in the air. And it looked like Corey Graham was the only one on the screen that was going to have an easy interception. And Josh Doctson just comes right behind him and almost catches that pass. It was typical 2018 Corey Graham. And your final stock down member today, Gino.
Every defensive tackle not named Fletcher Cox. So Timmy Jernigan goes out with it. Yeah, he goes out with the back spasms, which Doug says he's going to be okay. I'm sure it has something to do with the prior back injury. Like, he probably was relying on some part of his body more, and it led to his back getting injured again. I don't know how science works. I'm not really that indulged in it, but I know it's probably from that, I'm going to guess. But outside of Fletcher Cox, who played 90% of the snaps, they ran a lot of that NASCAR package. You saw a lot of Michael Bennett. You saw a lot of Chris Long. And Haloti Ngata played 15 snaps. And Trayvon Hester, he played 11 snaps. So they really don't trust the guys outside of Fletcher Cox. So to get Tim Jernigan back next week is going to be huge, because look at what they did against Washington. And Dallas has a pretty beat-up interior offensive line as well. So if you can have an attacking guy like Tim Jernigan and Fletcher Cox and Michael Bennett just playing like a man possessed, and Brandon Graham starting to come into his own again, this defensive line could be very lethal. But you need that rotation like you did last year. And if you're only going to play your reserve defensive tackles 26 snaps outside of Fletcher Cox, you're in for some trouble.
I'm with you, Gino. And you mentioned re-signing Brandon Graham next year. I'm probably getting rid of that cap hit from Timmy Jernigan, and I'm going to try to move that into some Brandon Graham money. And then next year, with one of the first two picks, they have two second round picks. One of those selections has to be a defensive tackle. It has to be.
I can't wait till we start talking about the draft. Like, that's my favorite time of the year. But this defensive tackle class and this cornerback slash safety class is so good that it's just going to be a fool's ransom when they're picking at what, either maybe like 15, 16, or in the 20s if they make the playoffs. It's going to be fun because if they add somebody that's lethal in the middle with Fletcher Cox, it's not even going to be funny. Like, look at what the Rams are doing with Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. If you can have a lethal tandem in the middle while Derek Barnett comes back, while you have Michael Bennett for another year, next year is going to be fun too, man. Like, I'm super excited to see what they add to this team. But for right now, you have to hope your guys keep playing strong up front because that's where this team is going to win. They won in the trenches last offseason outside of the Super Bowl, which is just a bloodbath. But you look at that Atlanta game, you look at that Minnesota game, they dominated up front all in the cold months. You're going to have to run the football. Thank God they are starting to figure that out with Josh Adams. But they're starting to cook, man. They're starting to get all the ingredients together, and they're whipping up a nice cheesesteak that we're going to put on a nice slab of bread, put a little whiz wit, and we're going to get cooking into the playoffs.
I hope so, Gino. I really hope so. And it starts this Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. And we're going to continue with Dallas Week tomorrow. We're going to have our crossover edition of Locked On Eagles with Locked On Cowboys host Marcus Mosher. So stay tuned for that as we move on to the first place battle next Sunday at Dallas against those stinking Cowboys. So for my co-host Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase LOE, at Gino_LOE, and enjoy the rest of your Victory Tuesday. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.